Well, good evening. Welcome, everybody, once again to Voice of Reason Radio. Your host, Chris Honholtz and Richard Story, joining you on the, well, it's the 2nd of November. I was going to say the first recording of the month of November, but then I thought I'd probably confuse everybody because it's not the first of the month, it's the 2nd. So it is November 2nd, 2018, with now only 2 months left in the year. And, Rich, we still have a show. Can you believe it?
But can you believe this? Now we can say Christmas is next month.
Oh, why you gotta go do that?
where has the time gone? It seemed like yesterday was the 4th of July.
Yeah. No, it's been crazy. The time... kids, if you're listening to this in your parents' car, you don't understand this yet. Summer does not last forever. Okay, if you're homeschooled, it probably doesn't last forever, because if you're like my kids, you homeschool through the summer. But those of you that are public school, those 3 months that go by and they seem like they go on forever and ever, when you get old and you have a job, trust me, those 3 months go by in the blink of an eye. Summer, which is here, it's gone. Now it's getting cold. We actually had to turn on the heater recently. starting to wear jackets in the morning and then be confused by the afternoon because it's starting to get hot again. So it is getting to that weird season.
You know, you and most people around the country probably call November fall. In Mississippi, it's tornado season. We don't have moderate temperature. It's like today the high was in the 50s. 2 days ago the high was almost 80.
Oh my word!
We had tornadoes come through the state Thursday. I think it was. Maybe it was Wednesday. No, it was Wednesday night into Thursday. There was like 14 confirmed tornado touchdowns or somewhere in that number. Nothing serious, and as far as I know, no one lost their life during it. It was just some storm damage and whatnot. But already, today is what, Friday? They're already predicting another round come Monday night of possible severe storms and hail and weather. This time of the year, our weather is like a yo-yo with temperatures. It'll go up, it'll go down. It'll go up, it'll go down. You know, the old funny saying, if you don't like the weather down south, just wait a day, it'll be different tomorrow, really holds true. And I think, really, I grew up in Alabama, and which most of my time growing up in Alabama was it really like central to southern Alabama, and it seems like I remember we actually had seasons then. And, you know, geographically, I'm really no different than I was then based on where I live. But I don't know. It just seems like this little patch of area through this part of the South, about a 100-150 mile stretch, it just seems like it gets bombarded from that really coastal southern weather to the northern cold fronts that dip in and out. And I guess that was, well, all that rambling, I guess that really is what makes this part of Tornado Alley. I guess that's what defines those fronts, the way that they go up and go down. At least, you know, it's not something year-round like Los Angeles. You know, they may have an earthquake any given day of the year.
Well, just
raging forest fires or...
Well, I would just say, just whatever you do during this season... If some little girl in pigtails comes up with her dog and there's a tornado coming, kick her to the curb. That's all I'm saying. If her name's Dorothy, she's trouble. So just get rid of her.
Well, you know, one good thing about Kansas, it's flat. They can see them coming. Where I live, you know, we're still in an area where we get some hills and foothills, and, you know, we got a lot of trees, and, you know, you can't see over the horizon maybe like you can in Kansas where it's just all flat. So that makes it a little more interesting. And I don't know how storm chasers are able to operate in the South. I think that's why you see them camped out in an area that they think something might come across, because they have no idea of knowing for sure what and when it's going to do. I think those trees and those hills and little valley dips and all that just make it do some, makes the storm fronts take some strange paths sometimes. All I know is since 2011, when tornado came through my little area and destroyed my kid's high school and missed my home by about a half a mile, that was rated like an F3 or an F4. Mm. Anytime we hear the tornado siren, to this day we still get, you know, hair standing on the back of our neck and kind of get that stressed out feeling, still a little bit of post-traumatic stress hangover from that.
I don't doubt it. Yeah, you got to be a special kind of crazy to chase those things. And Pastor Gabe Hughes, by the way, I'm pretty sure you're the one that told me you did that for a time. You got to be a special kind of crazy to go chasing after weather that can lift your car, throw it through the air, and land you in another state. So, yeah, you hear the siren. I think the smart thing is to hit, to duck and cover, because I wouldn't want to mess with it.
You got me thinking. You remember the movie that came out? Oh, it's been years ago. The name of it was Twister.
Yes.
And it was based on those storm trackers trying to get the sensors put into that tornado.
Yeah.
You know, to me, they kind of cheated, because they were where they were at, it was just all flat, and they could see exactly the entire shape of the tornado and knew which way it was moving and going and everything. I don't think it's like that in real life in most places.
No, Hollywood is infamous for, you know, making it easy for their characters to get to what they need to do. So, anyway. So, being that it is November 2nd, that means 2 days ago, depending on your level of anxiety about this season, there was Halloween. So, it might have been enjoyable for you. It might not have been so enjoyable for you. Rich, go ahead.
I'm so sorry. I've got to throw you in the bus, throw you under the bus.
I was trying to beat you to the punch, actually.
Did you or did you not, you and half of your family, win a Halloween costume contest this past weekend?
Man, I was trying to get around that. You had to bring that up, didn't you? Yeah, the local comic book shop that we like to go to, there's two times a year, I guess, comic book shops will have like a free comic book day, and one of those is Halloween, because they get kids and show up in costume and families and stuff like that. And there was that, speaking of Dorothy, there was actually a family that dressed up as Wizard of Oz characters. So, and one of them, the absolute cutest flying monkey you'll ever see. If you know me on Facebook, go and look for the stuff that I shared from a few days ago. There is this, it's a Omega Frog Comics, if you want to look it up. This kid was about as adult, he must have been a couple years old, and they had found him a flying monkey costume. And I don't care what you think of the Wizard of Oz movie and whether those flying monkeys freaked you out or not, this kid was the most adorable flying monkey in the world. So, just they had a lot of people come in and they take pictures, and you know, you get to get the free comics and have a good time. So my family and I were like, well, why not? We threw on our Comic-Con outfits and went. My wife won Best Superhero with her Lego Batgirl costume. So she beat me out. I only won for my age category, which I'm not talking about.
It was the 60s or the 70s.
Yeah, exactly. So, but and then my youngest son, who was there, won for his age category, and so we all won like some store credit, which is great, because you can get either free comic books or those Funko Pop bobblehead figures, and so that it was just a fun time, and watching the kids get excited, seeing people in the costumes and stuff like that. So yes, we did. Thanks for bringing that up. Throw me back under the bus again.
But you're the one that has the fun and interesting activities, so you know I have to kind of put that in the show ever so often.
I'm sure you take no enjoyment whatsoever in you know, embarrassing the late daylights. It has nothing to do with it. So
well, no, actually, it's all out of jealousy. I'm jealous that I'm not able to do all this and win, you know, fabulous prizes and headliners at comic book conventions and get asked to host birthday parties.
I have not personal appearances. I do not host birthday parties. I delivered a balloon once, and I went to a little kid's birthday party once. That was it.
Did you sing?
No. There is no singing involved. I will not sing. There's no way that's happening.
that would be interesting. You could start your own business, Captain Grahams, and show up as Captain America and do singing kind of like the shark from Saturday Night Live used to be.
Yeah, no, that's not happening, because first off, I'd go broke. They don't want to hear me sing. Trust me. I can carry a tune in a bucket, and that's about as far as it goes. We're not going down that road. That's just not happening.
Well, but I've been accused of not being able to play the radio, so you can't be nearly as bad as I am.
Damn, well, now you got me hacking and coughing over here. Okay. So anyway, now that Rich has completely derailed the show, stop it. So a couple days ago was Halloween, and some of you may not have had any involvement at all, and that's actually something we'll kind of touch on in a minute. But some of you may have done like my family did this year. It is, I think, the perfect time, as Ray Comfort puts it, to be involved in evangelism, because you have people coming to your door to get free stuff from you. And so my wife bought a bag of about 170 pieces of candy, and we had another bag that had Smarties candy. We threw them all in a big bowl, and we had these Halloween-themed gospel tracts. And so every kid that came to the door got two pieces of candy and a gospel tract. And by God's grace, we did not wake up to TP or eggs all over the house the following morning, so I think we did okay. So we gave out, we must have had 50 to 60, I'm thinking, kids come by and get gospel tracts and candy. So it was a good night. We were grateful, because I think that's the most we've seen in a while. Halloween is one of those festive events that's kind of waning in recent years because of the risks to going out in public anymore.
I had a very strange Halloween.
Okay.
I'm serious. I did. It was extremely strange. And before I share this, I'd put this on Facebook, and hopefully next year I can do it. I want to go tract and treating. I want to go door to door and actually hand out tracts and give the homeowners candy.
I think that's a great idea.
Kind of a Halloween in reverse. But I've seen what you were talking about over the years, the number of trick-or-treaters we get at our home has declined, but this year was strange. We did not have this single kid show up at our door.
Wow.
Trick-or-treating, and I never even saw vehicles on my road driving and stopping. Now, granted, the road I live on is not the most Halloween-friendly area, because there's only like four or five houses on this road,
but right.
Generally you see, you know, a few cars at least going along and stopping. I mean, it was just like any other day of the week this year, and I just found it really odd. And I got to talking to my wife about it, and I know that the trunk or treating that a lot mm-hmm. of churches put on has gotten more and more popular in my area. And the only thing we can come up with is that has become so popular, the fact that almost every church in our area does some kind of version of it, or they have some type of, they don't call it Halloween, they have a fall festival, or, you know, different things like that. That's the only thing we could come up with, that it's finally gotten to that point to where they're just not out trick-or-treating anymore. They're showing up at these different churches for their fall festival or their trunk-or-treating or whatever right. different names that they put on it, which, you know, is, in some ways, it's positive and encouraging, and in others, it's a little disappointing, because most of the churches in the area that do sponsor such an event never share the gospel
yeah.
with the parents or the children.
Yeah, and that's that. I agree with you. It's our church did its fall festival. Basically, we our church rents out a local roller rink, and yes, we actually still have one of those around here. And you know, they'll invite families and kids in. It's just a safe place to kind of get together and have a good time. And one of our pastors was like, you know, we've been doing this for years, and we should be sharing the gospel. And he stood out there on the roller rink, from what my wife was telling me, because she took the oldest to that, and my youngest and I did the candy handing out. And he you know, made a gospel presentation. You know, I thought that was fantastic. What an opportunity. You know, if you're a church and you're putting on an event like this, especially because, and it's one of the things we were kind of going to briefly touch on tonight, with the idea of Christian liberty and entertainment and things that we can be involved with, Halloween being one of those things. If you're somebody who does do that, there is an association with this time of year that's you know, that makes people kind of go, meh. And it has to do with death, and it has to do with, you know, ghouls and goblins and all this kind of stuff. And what an opportunity to turn that around and make it about life, and make it life everlasting in Jesus Christ. So, you know, Rich, I think if we can encourage anybody, you know, any pastor, any church that does these kind of events, I think it's great to give the kids a safe place to do this. I think that's a fantastic idea, because we do live in such a dark culture that has gotten so much more risky than when we were kids. I mean, our parents could send us out probably by ourselves when I lived in Bedford, Indiana. And, you know, we could go all over the neighborhood and didn't have to worry about anything. Come back, just make sure there's no razor blades in the apples, you know, which I never found. So I don't know where that ever started from. Never once found drugs or razor blades in my candy. So
I don't recall ever receiving fruit. And knowing me, it back during those years, I probably would have thrown it away before I got home anyhow. So.
But it was just one of those things. It's like we do live in a much more dangerous time because we live in a time that has become more and more Christ rejecting. I know some of our friends who are, you know, not dispensational, you know, like myself or something, would say, oh, it's always been that way. Yes, in some respects, yes, it's always been that way. But as the American culture has progressed, we are watching darker and darker days. So it's just that I think that's just observable. And so if you're going to put on something like that, I think that's a fantastic idea. It gives the kids a safe place to be. But Pastor, if you're doing this, make it put out gospel tracts, make a gospel presentation. You don't have to do a Billy Graham crusade. Rich, don't get mad at me for saying that.
Why would I get mad?
Because I know you and I, we've talked about Billy Graham before. So it doesn't have to be a crusade, but you can present the gospel to a massive group of people who are there to get something free from you. Take the opportunity. You're not going to, these are people that if they're not Christian, if they're Christians, they should love to hear it. If they're not Christians, the worst that will happen is that they may not come back next year for the next drunk or treat. They're not going to, they're not going to attack you in mass. Okay. So do it. Take the chance. You go out there and do it. But so yeah, we had some fun, and I'm praying that the gospel tracts that my son and I gave out get to the families, get to the kids. We even had teens come by and do it, which I was kind of grateful for because the teens in this town have nothing to do, and they actually caught our Walmart on fire in the men's section recently because they were throwing firecrackers around. So, it's like, oh my word. So if I could get some gospel tracts into the hands of some teenage kids who won't blow up our local Walmart in the future because they got saved, praise God. So we're grateful for that. So, but go ahead.
Off the subject a little bit, and you're talking about the teens and the firecrackers. We had a period there for a few years where, the whole roll TP yards was the end thing for the teenagers to do around Halloween. But it really got strange because it was kind of like nothing for a couple of years. And then the next thing you know, and I've never heard of this anywhere else, the teenagers were buying sidewalk chalk and coloring spots of the road and just, basically doing like graffiti, but on the roads and the highways around the area. And that went on for like 2 or 3 years around Halloween. And it was just strange. And I don't know if that group of teens, they outgrew that little fad or the police run them off or what, but it was just weird because I'd never have come across that or heard of it online of other communities that they came up with doing that instead of the TP. I guess they got nailed one too many times by the police officers for toilet papering people's homes, so they decided to take sidewalk chalk and go to doing the graffiti art and coloring the roads and all this stuff. I just found it odd. I don't know.
Yeah, that actually kind of sounds interesting. If it weren't for the fact that you would have to worry about getting run over, I actually would find that to be one of the least problematic things they've ever done. My biggest concern is watching people drive these days that some poor kid would get mowed down doing it.
Yeah, but you'd have to understand my neighborhood. I mean, we close, they turn off the stoplights at dark and roll up the sidewalks by 8 o'clock. And, if and when you see a car out around after 8 or 9, it's usually either somebody lost or trying to take a shortcut or something.
Yeah.
Well, I live in a very small town.
we live in a fairly small town, but, because it's 24/7 living in northern Nevada, we just have a lot of traffic. And folks, if you're in Fernley and you're listening to me say that, don't let your kids do this on our roads. You know we have crazy drivers here, okay? So, something else. No sidewalk chalk on the roads. It's too dangerous. But, so, okay, so we're talking you know, that we're going to make a, you know, hard right here almost. We're talking about doing things that are entertaining. And we actually had a show topic suggestion come in from a friend of ours on Facebook that actually has to do with the concept of hobbies, entertainment pursuits, and stuff like that. And so Rich and I were going to talk about that tonight. We just wanted to, you know, address, you know, what is, you know, how can I put this? What kind of pursuits can we have? Does God allow us to pursue things, to have hobbies and interests that allow us to, you know, have entertainment, have an enjoyable time? Or are we expected to kind of be this 24/7 evangelism, preaching, teaching, study machine? And the suggestion that came in was, it was one of the folks, this more recent listener, which I'm shocked we get people that are still new listeners. I love it. But he writes, he's a newer listener, and says, you know, wanted to make sure it wasn't something we covered before. But he's had several Christians tell him, you know, you can't do, he says they're starting up the, quote, you can't do anything non-Christian movement. Basically saying that if you watch movies, play Pokemon, let your kids dress up for Halloween, that these things aren't allowed or are not okay. And he makes an interesting connection to this. He says that, you know, funny thing is that most of these Christians he knows doesn't have an issue or has an issue with him liking, say, like superhero movies, which, big surprise, I would be okay with superhero movies. I mean, crying out loud, I dress up like Captain America. But you know, they give him grief for watching like Marvel movies. How dare you watch those things? They're not godly. But then they see it as worthless fantasy. It's not it's not a godly pursuit. Yet they like things like cars or something like that, or maybe sports or something. And there isn't inherently anything Christian about them as well. So I think that's actually a really good topic, because it talks about the issue of Christian liberty. Do we have liberty to pursue things that are not specifically spelled out in Scripture as do this and it's good and you have to only do these things? Can we have freedom to pursue specific issues and specific hobbies and things? And I believe that, you know, that this falls under what, and I may butcher this, and I've learned this from Todd Friel, so the way he tends to pronounce words, I probably am wrecking it. It's the concept of adiaphora, the idea that things that are neither commanded nor forbidden in Scripture. So for the example of watching movies, you're not going to find in Scripture, thou shalt not watch movies. Or let's say, you know, we just had the World Series, and I'm sorry, I forget who it was that won. Was it the Red Sox? It might have been the Red Sox. Anyway, sorry, I'm not a sports guy, folks. I think we've established this by now. You shouldn't be surprised. But there's nothing that says thou shalt not watch sports. Okay, so it's not commanded to watch them, nor is it forbidden to watch them. So the Scriptures are silent in these areas. So if Scripture is silent in these areas, such as watching movies and watching a sporting event or something like that, is it a sinful thing or to partake of it, or do we have the freedom to do those things? So, Rich, knowing that when we're talking about the issues of Christian liberty and issues that are neither commanded nor forbidden, where do you think, does God give us the freedom to pursue interests and hobbies that in and of themselves are not sinful?
Well, I think, you know, this in pre-show, you and I were discussing this, and there's so many different angles that we could discuss this topic from. And it seems like, for the most part, most people are either extremely legalistic on this subject, or they are extremely liberal on this subject, because you could go online and look up previous blog articles or sermons, and you'll get the majority of what you will find will either be really hard one way or really hard the other way.
Mm-hmm.
But we need to remember that during the time of Paul, entertainment and sports and recreation was something that
mm-hmm.
was there, that people were involved in. And you were speaking about, you know, the Bible doesn't say you shall not go to a movie. Granted, you know, we're not crazy. Movies were not around then. But keep in mind what was the entertainment of the day. You had chariot races. You had the arena where gladiators would fight. Paul never really, that I know of, that I can remember, Paul doesn't address those type of things. You know, there are some references to sports that Paul uses as an analogy about a racer running the race, or, you know, a boxer punching the air, you know. So we know, based on some things that Paul wrote, there were activities during biblical times. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think people realize that, you know, recreation and sports and enjoying oneself and having fun, that's not a modern day concept. People have been doing that since the dawn of time, since man walked the earth. You know, God breathed air into man. Since there was a population, people have sought ways to be entertained, have sought ways for recreation. What I think we really need to do is approach the subject maybe in a balanced way and ask, not necessarily ask, does the Bible forbid us from going to movies? Does the Bible forbid us from having hobbies or playing golf or watching football or enjoying playing basketball or whatever the case may be, or fishing or hunting or whatever? But am I honoring God in the way that I participate in mm-hmm. these activities?
Absolutely. And I think that's the question you were mentioning to me before. You were looking at some articles with regard to that prior to us recording the program. And you made the exact point that there doesn't seem to be a balance when Christians are addressing this issue. We either fall into the ditch of a legalistic spirit, which is thou shalt not because I say that that's a bad thing, or an antinomian idea. Well, it's, you know, we're all under grace, so we can do whatever we want. And it's, you may not be an antinomian. You may have a healthy respect for the Word of God, but you believe that, you know, because certain things are, we have freedom and liberty, that you can pursue those things with no concern. And it's an antinomian ditch that you can fall into. You may be someone who's so very concerned about the law of God and not wanting to sin, that you fall into a ditch where you're adding to the gospel by saying, well, if you're doing this, you know, I don't see how you can be a Christian. You may not be a legalist, but you can fall into that ditch, in which I think we see that happen so often when we're talking about the issue of Christian liberty. Obviously, there are certain things we cannot pursue. Scripture makes it very clear. You know, if it's one thing, let's say I get involved in like a Vody Balcom. He is involved in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. You know, that means you're involved in sparring. You're involved in a contact sport. So, you know, clearly he sees where God has given him liberty to pursue a physical activity that has that is involved in combat, and it's a contact sport. So he's not sinning there, but if he were to then take that to another level and get into, let's say, illegal street fighting where you're beating the living snot out of someone and caving in skulls, well, that's wrong. Why? Because you're actually you're seeking to do physical harm. You're trying to hurt, maim, or kill someone. So we would not cross into that area. You may be involved in a contact sport, and that in and of itself may not be sinful, but once you cross into the area of the idea of you're trying to actually physically clobber someone to death, that we wouldn't want to be involved in. Watching movies, for example, may not be inherently sinful, but if you were to cross that line and go into, say, watching adult films, and I say that in that manner because I understand there might be younger ears listening, we can't watch that. That's forbidden. That's fornication. That's, you know, that's something that's an act that's reserved for a man and a woman in a lifelong committed relationship called marriage, monogamous relationship, and yet we would watch it on a screen? No, that's sinful. So, Rich, we know there is a specific line we cannot cross when it in and of itself is a sinful act. We can't engage in that. But then there are those issues of, let's say, you know, you and I watch, you know, action films. We like Marvel movies or DC movies, science fiction. I know, you know, you like Star Trek. And in those movies, there are scenes of simulated violence where persons can have supposedly have been hurt or died as a part of the storyline. So that's one of those areas, depending on your walk, your understanding of Scripture, depending on your maturity in Christ, you may have a problem with being able to watch that, right?
Well, absolutely. And I think that would apply to any type of genre or sport or movie. You know, I think each of us have different things that tempt us to sin. You know, a person may be, you know, a recovering alcoholic, and they can't be around or shouldn't be around other people drinking, or shouldn't, you know, maybe even watching someone sitting at a bar in a movie or a TV show. That might get the urge up in them to want to go out and get drunk and, you know, commit some type of sin. But I think it's not just that. It gets on into, you know, anything that would defy God's moral law. We can all, you know, we all have different tendencies that tempt us, that we're led to that particular sin maybe more so than another sin. And, you know, and sadly, in today's secularized movie industry, entertainment industry, you know, there's going to be something out there that will tantalize each person's own individual temptation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have to approach entertainment and recreation in a way, you know, ask ourselves, is this glorifying God, or will this cause or lead me to sin? And that line you were talking about, yes, there is a line as Christians we should never cross. But for some people, that line for you may be different than a line for me. Yeah. Now, there are set lines that, regardless of anything else, we should never get into. And as you said, you know, adult contented films or scenes, you know, that's not something any Christian, in my opinion, should be partaking in. Sadly, there are some Christians who seem to take that view that they can watch certain types of media, that they can go to certain types of art galleries, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, that's one end of the spectrum. And then, like you were saying, there are some people that think we should never watch anything that has these superhero characters in it. We should not watch movies that's got all this violence. We should not watch movies with witchcraft. But I've seen and know people that have made those comments. But if it is a cartoon type movie, mm-hmm. they'll watch almost anything that comes across the screen if it's a cartoon, even though to a lesser degree it has the exact same type of content as those other live action movies. So I mean, you know, there's on both ends of it, really and truly, there's a little bit of hypocrisy that goes on, because some people will deem this action movie too violent, but will watch a cartoon movie that's got basically the same type of content.
Yeah, and I think that's where that lack of balance can come into play, because it's like, well, this isn't okay for you, but this is okay for me. And to, you know, to use a good example of what you just described, everybody has at this point has heard of the Harry Potter books and Harry Potter films. And I remember when the films came out, there was a lot of hullabaloo within the evangelical church, and a lot of videos and a lot of blog articles came out, books decrying Harry Potter, saying it was promoting witchcraft among children. And I understand where some of that came from, because the author tried to, in my understanding, I've never read the books, it's not a genre I'm really that particularly interested in, try to be authentic, I guess, to some extent, of what the practice of witchcraft and sorcery would look like in the writing of the books. And if you're a good author, you'll do something like that. You won't just make stuff up, because you'll throw your readers off, and so a good author will try to do that. And so that was put in there, and then there were people who were practicing paganism and witchcraft who watched those movies and actually thought, man, that's cool. It promotes what I like and my religious practice. And so it was this huge hullabaloo among Christians. How dare you watch this? How dare you allow your children? Don't do it. You're going to invite demonology into your home, etc. And questions got raised that exactly echoed what you just pointed out, Rich. What about Cinderella? What about Sleeping Beauty? You know, Disney films.
Huh? Tinkerbell.
Tinkerbell, you know. What about those? You know, because that is representation. I mean, you know, Cinderella, she's using magic words to transform things. It was casting spells, and yet we were okay with that. Sleeping Beauty, the fairy godmothers casting spells, and the evil sorceress, you know, casting spells and putting her to sleep. We didn't have as big a problem with that. Now, I'm not saying that folks who didn't have a problem with the Disney films were sinning, and I'm not saying the people who had a problem with Harry Potter films were wrong. I'm simply saying is that Rich and I are hoping to point out, by the way, if you tuned into this thinking we were going to give you definitive lines, sorry.
Yes, this episode is to make you think.
Exactly. We want you to think the issue through. Now, let's take it a step back. We just talked about 2 days ago was Halloween, and that was one of the things our friend posted in response to his idea for the show, was the issue of Halloween. Now, Rich, let's separate it from the concept of the idea of a holiday that's around all this, and you know, I won't say holiday because some people might take an issue. Let's say a festival day of that's around so much oobity gooby scary stuff, and let's just say you put kids in a costume and you send them to a place where they're going to get candy for free. Would any of us have a problem with that? Would we say the idea of dressing up your kids in costume and taking to them a place like a party or an event where they're going to get candy, would we think that in and of itself would be sinful?
You and I may not, but I know people that would. Just the simple act of them dressing up as another character, they would probably find that sinful.
So, you know, again, so here we go. It's this issue of where's that line? You know, you're going to have people have a conscience issue with this. So the idea, the primary thing that happens on Halloween is kids are dressed up as their favorite characters and bouncing from house to house to get a sugar high. Okay, most of you that listen to this program know that, as Rich mentioned earlier, trying to once again embarrass me, my family and I love to go to comic conventions, and we buy costumes and put all this stuff together. And you go buy stuff, and you meet your favorite actors and actresses and stuff like that, and you get to meet all these people. That in and of itself, most people would look at that and go, I don't think that's very sinful. You know, now, like the individual who wrote the post. He's encountered people say, unless you are 24/7 posting only things about God and only doing things about what the Bible says, you must be sinning. And that's a different issue. But most of us wouldn't have an issue with it. So it's less, I think, Rich, about the costumes and the candy. Although, like you said, there are some people that take it to that extreme. It's the time of year. It's associated with a time of year when scary things, ghouls and goblins and skeletons and zombies and Draculas and stuff like that. And there's this fascination, especially in American culture, with getting scared and these fantasy creatures that have come out of the Grimm's fairy tales and the ghost stories around the campfire that have culminated into this at a time when historically, I don't think we can say Halloween definitively has always been this paganistic ritual, but there are historical references that look to this particular time of year as like a time when the veil between the living and the dead was so thin, and you could commune with the dead. And so it all kind of, there's that hit, you know, that association with that odd history, that association with, you know, cults who look to that in modern day and say, yep, this is a high holy festival day for us. And then there's this obsession with the ghouls and the goblins and the scary stuff, and all tied together. So there are some Christians who look at that and go, that's absolutely sinful. If you do anything on that day, you're sinning because you're approving of paganism. And I that's one of those areas where it's like, Rich, I think as we've been hopefully trying to convey to people, there may be a bit of a meat sacrifice to idols issue here, right?
Well, that and the fact that the origins and people's view of Halloween today has been mostly influenced by pop culture and by movies and right. by videos and TV shows, and to the point to where we think that this is what Halloween is about. If you do some research, depending on what country you're researching about the origin of Halloween, you know, in some cultures, Halloween was the day that they dressed up to try to scare away the ghouls and the goblins and the demons and those type of things. But moving it forward to us as Christians approaching this, there are some references in the Bible that we can pull from that may help guide us in some of these gray areas, because, you know, like we were talking about, you know, there are gray areas that the Bible does not explicitly say you should not do this and you should not do this or you should not do this. And I think as Americans especially, we like lists. We like to, mm-hmm. we like the black and white. We like to know, okay, this is what is allowed, this is what's not allowed. We kind of have thrown biblical sense and common sense out the window and rely on everyone else to tell us what is and is not okay.
Yeah.
Instead of letting our conscience and the Bible and our prayer guide us. And another thing, in today's social media saturated world, we're exposed to fellow Christians at all different levels of sanctification and different points in their walk with Christ. And a younger Christian that maybe is new to the faith may be more sin sensitive and feel more tempted by something like Halloween than, say, maybe a man that's been a Christian for 25 years that has faithfully studied his Bible and read the Word of God and does not find Halloween to be offensive in any way, form, or shape. What we've got to do is be careful and not take a hammer and beat either one of those over mm-hmm. the head.
Absolutely. You know, coming into this particular time of year, I saw all the typical Facebook posts. You know, God hates witchcraft, therefore Halloween is, Halloween is a sin. God hates, you know, demon worship, therefore it's a sin. I mean, you know, just looking up, you know, witchcraft and sin, you know, you can look at things like Deuteronomy 18, Exodus 22, Leviticus 20, First Chronicles. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I was just going to say you can even jump forward to the New Testament
yep.
references about magic in the book of Acts.
Exactly. So over and over again, the Bible condemns witchcraft, for example. And so people say, well, there are people who celebrate Halloween as a high holy day for witches. It was a druid, a high pagan festival. So therefore, just participating in it is an association with those things. And where I would say I kind of look at this and I think, okay, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, the issue of meat sacrifice to idols. Paul talks about people who came out of pagan ritualism and the idea of, you know, meat being sacrificed to, you know, to a false god, to a person who came out of that. That eating that meat was the highest sin they could possibly think of in their mind, because that was meat sacrificed to a demon. You know, how could I possibly eat that? Now, what does Paul say? Well, those of us who are mature in the faith recognize there's no power there. That meat is not tainted in any way. It was sacrificed to nothing. It was sacrificed to a wooden idol. So therefore, eating that meat is no sin. But to the person who sees it as sin, that is sin, because it's their conscience. And so to get to what you were saying, Rich, there are going to be people who look at those associations with the issue of Halloween and go, I can't do it. I can't be part of it because it's so connected. It has such a history. And I would say if you are someone like that who has a conscience that's tender, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, don't celebrate it. Don't be part of it. But to a person who's more mature in the faith and recognizes witchcraft and all those pagan ideologies in that history worshipped nothing. It had no power. They worshipped themselves. And I'm not doing that because I'm taking my kid door to door in a Power Rangers costume. So I'm not involved in that. Then I would say that person, you know, like Paul, it says he's engaging in something that has no connection to any demon worship of any kind. And he's recognizing that, and he's not, and so he is following his God-informed conscience to say, this is not a sin in this area. And so I agree with you, Rich. This idea that, for you know, using this as an example, we've got to be willing to say, what does the Bible say on these issues? Are there areas that are absolutely verboten? Absolutely, yes, there are. And in those areas where it is less clear, we've got to be studying, praying, and seeking. You go back to, Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So whatever it is we're doing, if we can say that we can do it in his name, and we can do it and bring glory to him in doing so, I believe we are free to do it. If we, as long as we're not crossing an obvious line that says, thou shalt not, then you don't do that, because no matter what you try to claim, you're not going to bring glory to God. God does not, is not glorified by sinning. But in areas that it's less clear, and it's a meat sacrifice to idols area, then you're going to have to follow your God-informed conscience. And when I say God-informed, I'm saying studying the Word, praying, and practicing the things that the Scriptures command us to do. Not just, well, the Jiminy Cricket, well, let your conscience be your guide. Now, you know, if you just do that alone, you're probably going to fall into a ditch. So, Rich, I think one of the problems that we have when it comes to this issue of Christian liberty is we have two ditches that kind of want to lob bombs at one another, because I want to be able to do this. Well, you're not allowed to do this. And there's not that, hey, where are we in sanctification? Where are we in growth? What does the Scripture say? Is it strictly forbidden, or is it become a conscience issue?
Well, I know that in Proverbs it says, let no wicked thing be cast before your eyes. I'm kind of paraphrasing the old King James Version. Can you look up, while you've got it, Colossians 2, when it reads about let no one disqualify or judge you?
Yeah, let me get to that section real quick. You keep talking, I will look.
But as you were saying, we people seem to fall in one ditch or the other. But you know, the dividing principle is, like you said, will this glorify God? Now, there are things that we can do in recreation, say like playing golf or going fishing or, you know, playing basketball in the backyard, that is neither good nor evil. But the way that we participate in those activities, the way that we conduct ourselves, can be sinful. I mean, when it comes to sports, say like college football, especially down south, it's almost like a religion, and I'm not exaggerating, because people get so wrapped up in college football in the South. You know, if a player from Team A is intentionally trying to hurt a player from Team B, that is a sin. If player from Team A is just trying to do his best and play and enjoy himself, or, you know, working his way through college by a scholarship, you know, that's another thing altogether. And I think that's something we need to keep in mind, even when it comes to things such as movies and entertainment. You know, are there things, are there principles within this movie that are blaspheming God? Well, then that ought to be a measure that we use and say, no, I don't believe I should be watching this. But in some of these situations, it's going to be determined by a person's conscience, and we need to remember that we're not all walking at the same place, the same pace, and at the same time with Christ, that our sanctification levels do vary. And what I may feel like I have liberty to do, Chris may not feel like he has the liberty to do, but I should not beat him over the head and accusing him of being false because he has a different view than I. But as Paul was talking about when it came to the passages about meat, I have the liberty to eat meat. If I knew that Chris felt like it was a sin and he was being tempted and that it shouldn't be done, you know, I would forego eating meat around him for the sake of his conscience and for the sake of his sanctification. The problem is we tend to not want to help and lean on each other. We tend to want to be right and mm-hmm. try to prove our point by beating our brother over the head instead of trying to support and teach our brother. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the passage you're talking about with regards to the eating of meat and stuff like that, it, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, Colossians 2, what you were talking about before. Now, primarily, Paul is talking about the practice of, like, asceticism, you know, having specific days of worship, having specific festivals, certain dietary, etc. And he goes into that, and then when he gets to verse 16, he says, "Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism or worship of angels, going on in detail about visions puffed up without reason by a sensuous mind," and going forward and forward. He's making a point to those who are mature in the faith and understand those, you know, he says, these things, certain things, like, well, okay, we don't worship angels, obviously, but asceticistic practices, trying to divorce oneself from the world, holding certain festivals and Sabbaths as being more important. You know, the person in Christ recognizes those are substance of things. They are shadow of things where Christ is the substance. So we don't hold those in the super high esteem as the Jew once did, because he recognized we recognize those things were the things that pointed us to Christ. So he says, don't let someone bring you down of your worship of Christ by insisting upon these things. So we don't let that judgment tear us down. So we have this freedom to not be tied up in that legalistic system. But in the same vein, let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, where he's talking about the issue of meat sacrificed to idols. We have this freedom to eat meat because we recognize that the meat sacrificed to idols, it was sacrificed to nothing, because there's no false god there. And he says, however, not all possess this knowledge, that the meat sacrificed to idols is not a sin. But some, through former association with idols, eat food as really offered to an idol, and their conscience, being weak, is defiled. So if we, in turn, kind of beat down on the guy who's got a weaker conscience and say, how dare you deprive me of this, we can stumble them to where they do something that they feel like they shouldn't do. And so, Rich, I think you're right. It's this issue of, when it comes to Christian liberty, there needs to be some recognition on both sides that we don't want to stumble one another. The weaker brother should recognize there's issues of Christian liberty that we have that he doesn't perhaps yet comprehend. And he, rather than casting aspersions or judgment on someone, recognize that perhaps this person has freedom that I don't yet comprehend and I'm not yet comfortable with. And then there's the person who has the freedom, who recognizes it and should not insist upon his freedoms and his liberty to the point of defiling the conscience of the person who doesn't feel comfortable doing it. And where those issues of liberty fall, I think there needs to be grace on both sides as we consider what would God have us do. You're right. Paul said, if it means making someone stumble, I'll never eat meat again. He's willing to give up his liberty so that he can strengthen his brethren. So for those of us who are looking at the liberties that we have, are we doing them in that Colossians 3 way of doing it in such a way that we are bringing glory to God in our practice of them, or are we so insistent upon them that we have these freedoms that we're not glorifying God because we're stumbling others, if that makes sense?
Oh, absolutely. And I think on both sides, we need to remember that God blessed us with fun and entertainment, that those concepts are actually a gift from God, because, there's several proverbs that mentions things along the line of a glad heart makes a cheerful face, Proverbs 15:13 or Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. So, we need to realize that fun and entertainment and recreation are gifts from God for us to, as the word recreate means, to recreate, to renew, to rejuvenize ourselves, to have a break from the day's, you know, anxieties or problems or troubles, that it brings us together, that we can fellowship and have fun and enjoy these different things, and whether it be with friends or with your family. But sadly, there's a third part in all of this, especially among American evangelicals, to where we let that notion and idea of wanting to have fun, to want to be entertained all the time, that in itself can consume us to the point to where entertainment itself becomes an idol for us, and we're neglecting our family, we're neglecting church, we're neglecting our reading our Bible, and we become so consumed of wanting to forget everything else that's going on, that unless we're at work, all we want to do is have fun and be entertained. And sadly, I see that more than anything else in today's world.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That insistence upon entertainment as if that's the chief end. That's a conversation, believe it or not, we have in our home with our kids. You know, God has given us days to work. He's given us things to do. And, you know, as we're raising our two boys, they you know, they get more and more a taste of the fun things of life, so to speak. And there's a constant battle to remind them, God has given you work to do, and it is good for you to do this work. The entertainment, the fun things, those are the privilege. Those are the things we get to do that God gives us freedom to do, but it is not what we are to live for. And Rich, you're right, we're in an entertainment saturated culture, and that's as if the only thing we should live for is entertainment, and that's a very tragic thing. We can have those things, we have liberty to pursue those things, but as a privilege, as a gift from God, as an opportunity to rest and recreate, but they are not to be solely what we do. Now, Rich, and we've only got a few minutes left in the show, but you and I actually kind of had another thought about this, to maybe turn the tables just a little bit. And I'll ask you this question. Do you think that for those that look at the Christian liberty to have entertainment and kind of scowl at it a little bit, like, how dare you ever post anything on Facebook that isn't about evangelism, scripture teaching, or prayers, or whatever, do you think that a person can take the things of God to a point to where they are actually sinning by Absolutely. Their practice of them?
Absolutely. And sadly, I've known of some men personally that have let the act of evangelism become an idol to them, to the point to where they neglected their job, their family, their children, their friends, to the point to where, yes, they were doing something God-honoring, they were doing something biblical, but they were so wrapped up in doing it to the point to where that actually became an idol, and they were neglecting the other things that God commands us to take care of. We're to be good stewards, and if we have a wife and children, or if we're, you know, a single parent with children, whatever the case may be, if we have a family that depends on us, we have a duty and an honor and a responsibility given by God to take care of them as much as we take care of our soul and our evangelistic or Christology or our church duties. On the flip side of that, I know of women, especially in the South, when it comes to Southern Baptists, if you know of any Southern Baptists, things of church can become very engulfing. I know of two or three women over my lifetime in the Southern Baptist Convention and Southern Baptist churches that have let church duty become an idol to them, to the point to where they were putting what the church was doing, that this function or this study or this outreach or this community event or this cooking or this eating or this hosting became an idol to them, to the point to where they were focused only on that and let their home and families go to the wayside, to where after a while, if that happens long enough, your family is going to be a complete wreck. Mm-hmm. Or in the case of the evangelists, their work became a complete wreck. They lost their job because they were not showing up for work, or they were taking off too much. Their families became a complete wreck because of their time and devotion to yes to something that is extremely godly. But even that, unless we are careful and exercise balance and discernment in all of our actions, we can end up letting something, even something godly, become an idol and consume our lives to the point that we are not being respectful and good stewards of the other things that God has placed in our life.
Absolutely. And then there's another part of that. It's the idea of doing the godly thing to be seen by others and have them recognize, oh, look at what you're doing, that to get that pat on the back. Jesus spoke of that, Matthew 6:1. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward in heaven, or have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. So there's also the aspect of, we can be doing the right thing, and I do that with air quotes, right thing for the wrong motivation. You can do it, as you said, Rich, to an extent to where you neglect your other duties in life, but you also can do it for the wrong motivation. You can be doing it for to get recognition. You can be doing it to advance yourself in ministry. You can be doing it so that you think you've earned some sort of credit with God. The idea is that we are to be obedient to God, not because we earn anything or not because we can be approved by others. We are obedient to God and work in the areas of ministry that He's given us for the specific purpose of honoring God, going back to Colossians chapter 3, that we do all things for the glory of God. We're doing it for Him. So whether it's we're pursuing the things of hobbies and entertainment and interests in our free time that God allows us, that is in and of itself not sinful, we inform ourselves through scripture, through prayer, through godly practice, and then make decisions based upon what we know of God's word and whether or not it would honor Him. We do that. But in the same vein, when we practice the things of God, we're doing it with that same motivation. I'm informing my conscience of the Word of God. I'm praying. I'm acting in obedience to God because I love God and not for some other motivation. And I'm weighing my practice of those things with the other things that God has given me. And Rich, you've pointed that. We've talked about it on the show where we've seen some people take what is godly, for example, as you said, evangelism or abortion ministry or some other preaching ministry, and have taken it to an extreme where the practice itself should be a godly practice, but they've turned it into something utterly sinful because of how they treat people, how they treat people who don't do what they do, how they corrupt the Word of God, they corrupt the practice. Now, the person who says you should never do anything that isn't, scriptural or in the Bible or 100% God approved with a big shiny stamp on it, might look at something like that and go, well, look, that's what you should be doing. And that person's a heretic. We've seen that. I mean, there's guys out there who, as you mentioned, like some of the we've talked about the street screechers, not preachers, screechers, who are flat out heretics, who are preaching sinless perfectionism, who are preaching you can lose your salvation, and they're not calling people to repentance. They're not calling crying out against sin in tears and in compassion, but they're screaming in anger and they're preaching a false message. And yet some Christians get sucked into that because, wow, look at them, they're really godly, they're really calling out sin. And so I agree with you, Rich, it is entirely possible to take something that is God honoring and completely corrupt it, and just because it's something that, oh well, it's evangelism, so therefore it must be good, it can also become a snare and a trap, and it can also stumble brethren. And so we have to be wise in both practices, both in our religious pursuits and obedience to God, and in those times of liberty that He allows us, that we pursue things that are God-honoring and are not stumbling others.
Well, I agree with everything you said. And sadly, there are street screechers out there that are not gospel preachers. They're basically out protesting sin, and there's a huge difference. Sadly, the ones I was referencing were actually ones that preach a very godly, gospel-centered message. They just let it take over their lives, mm-hmm. to the point to where it became, an idol to them. And I don't know. I think a lot of times, everything we just said on this end of the show, people can fall into that and not realize that they're actually seeking the approval of man, or they're mm-hmm. seeking a higher status, or, you know, they're seeking that approval. They're seeking those likes and retweets, or, you know, views or hits or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think a person can end up in that bog and not realize that that's what's going on. And, you know, I think at some point, if that's what the case is, you see some stumble and fall, like so many we see that are very public figures within Christianity that have fallen and have started modifying the word to accommodate more people. I think that may be a trap that leads to some of those people getting themselves into those types of situations. But all in all, and now I'm going to throw a boomerang, all in all, I think when it comes to entertainment, especially when it comes to music, television, movies, you know, we have so many more options today. You know, we could be entertained 24/7 and never hear anything biblical. With all the movie streaming services that are available, all of the rental formats that are available, you know, there's so much that we could get engulfed in when it comes to entertainment. But I think something that we need to all remember, and I include myself in this statement, we need to stop and think, okay, if I was viewing this in person, if this was really happening, if this was going on live right in front of me, would I be entertained by it? Would I allow myself to watch it? More importantly, would I allow my family to watch this take place? And I think, if we're honest with ourselves, when it comes to some of the movies and entertainment and whatnot that's out there, I think if we're honest with ourselves, probably 80% of what we consume in far as entertainment, we might would have to answer no to that question. And I find it interesting, and I'll close in this, when it comes to secular entertainment, even in today's world, with even though their rating system is horrible when it comes to the way they rate movies in R or PG or PG-13 or whatnot, do you realize that there's a reason why in these action superhero type movies, you know, there's a reason why when there's big battle scenes going on, most of the time it's someone that looks like a human versus something that looks like a robot or an alien or someone that's in another disguise? It's because the rating systems, if they had an all-out combat war with people getting shot and blown up, even in a movie such as like the newest Avengers movie, it would have received an R rating because of the violence.
Right.
They're able to get around it by using robots and aliens and all these other types of creatures. I don't know if that's common knowledge or not. It's something I learned not long ago. I just thought it was really interesting. And as far as movies goes, I think when they did away with, what was it called, the Hays Code back in the 60s?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's correct.
I think when they did away with that and they started letting movies rate themselves for the more or less, because that's basically what it is nowadays, I think the amount of violence and these other things increased in them. But sadly, there are movies that have been rated PG, PG-13 that have been like mega super box office hits, such as Star Wars. I know that's a huge one. They've always been like PG or PG-13. I don't know if I've ever even heard a curse word in one of them, much less some of this other stuff that have raked in money. When it comes to movies, Hollywood doesn't necessarily always make one just to make money. I think today there is a concentrated effort to try to demoralize the country, so to speak, when it comes to feeding them things or feeding the public entertainment that is not glorifying, that is not wholesome, because some of these movies are horrible. They don't make any money, but yet they keep pumping them out. Why else would they be still doing it?
No, absolutely. And that is, I think you're absolutely right. We need to, I think, make sure we have a God-informed conscience. it's not just a matter, like I said, I jokingly said it, but it's absolutely true. This is not a Jiminy Cricket, let your conscience be your guide, because if we just go upon our own conscience, we're going to fall in a ditch. It has to be God-informed. It has to be saturated in the Word of God. That should be the primary thing that every day we're doing. And then we seek out what we have liberty to do, knowing what God's Word says about certain things. And to kind of step back to the issue of you're talking about movies, I'll throw it back, Halloween back on it, since we just had it. So a long time ago, my wife and I decided we weren't going to participate in Halloween. Now, initially it was because we all saw the same videos. Ooh, the Halloween trick-or-treat, it's all satanic, etc. As time went on, and we learned the Word of God more and began to become more informed about how to think as Christians, ultimately, the reason I didn't want my kids participating in certain things like going out and trick-or-treating and haunted houses and all those other things was, what testimony did it give to the world? Because Halloween is associated with some dark themes. So we don't watch, for example, zombie movies. You know, I don't think they're appropriate. Why? Because it's talking about the undead. It's talking about this weird practice of, it used to be it was a voodoo practice that, you know, brought the dead back to life and could be used as a vessel. Now we somehow think it's some sort of science fiction virus thing, I guess. But it's this bizarre thing about the undead, and we don't watch vampire movies. Well, okay, Bela Lugosi, I give him, I'll watch him because Bela was awesome Dracula, but we don't watch those kind of films. Why? Because what is the testimony to the world? These are dark issues that tend to have a very anti-God perspective. And am I sinning if I watch one of those movies? Maybe, maybe not. But what about the testimony of participating in those things? I know people that like scary movies. Don't get y'all, think you're a little crazy, but okay, you like scary movies. But what is the testimony to the world to watch something that's full of blood and gore? What does it say to the world as a Christian that I'm okay with something like this? So, Rich, I think you're absolutely right. We have to take a healthy view, a godly view, of what am I putting in front of my eyes? What is the impact on me? And what is the testimony to those who are watching me involve myself in it? So those are some things to take into consideration. Like I told you earlier, Rich and I were saying, we didn't set any lines for you. If you were looking for black and white lines, you tuned into the wrong program, so very sorry. But we're hoping that what this does is spur some conversations, that when you start to get into those conversations online, because there's a temptation, if you're someone who says, how dare you do this, it's to lob that firebomb. And if you're someone who is on the other side, maybe on the receiving end of that, is to fire back. Both of you, take a deep breath, slow down, and take into consideration some of the things that we talked about. What are we trying to accomplish here? Ultimately, Colossians chapter 3, everything we do should be for the glory of Jesus Christ. As such, are there things that are not nearly as clear as some of us would like them to be when it comes to the issue of Christian liberty? And if so, can a person with their God-informed conscience partake of something and not necessarily be sinning? The answer is yes. So keep that in mind in how you interact with each other when we are discussing these issues and in your practice of them. So, Rich, any final thoughts as we wrap it up here?
Well, one closing thought on this overall topic. People seem to think that what we're exposed to today, as far as media is concerned, is far worse than anything else ever. That's not true. You need to know and understand Roman life during the first century, what Paul and the first and second generation after Paul would have been exposed to. It was a very decadent civilization. We mentioned briefly about the arena and gladiators, where people would go watch and cheer people getting literally murdered, not a reenactment or make-believe. This was real life stuff that was transpiring, not to mention the very mature type things that went on in that society that everyone saw and was exposed to. The point is, no matter what is around you, no matter what's going on, God has the power to save you, to bring you out of that decadence, to bring you out of the world, and to give you a new heart, to give you a new life. And the biggest line, the greatest line, is knowing whether or not you're growing in Christ, if you're loving the things of Christ more and you're hating what Christ hates more, then you are progressing in sanctification. The question shouldn't be, what can I get away with as a Christian? The question should be, how close could I get to Christ as a Christian?
Amen. 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 So folks, really hope that this has been helpful. I hope you had some steel-toed boots and a Kevlar helmet on, because I'm pretty sure, Rich, we probably ticked off just about everybody in some capacity. I think we better get our helmets on and start looking for flying tomatoes coming through the email. Again, it is a sticky thing when we start talking about Christian liberty. It's not, there are some areas that are just not as clear as we would like them to be. You know, take alcohol. It's a sin not to, it's a sin to get drunk, but it's not a sin to drink wine, because they drank wine. They just couldn't get drunk. But is drinking wine a sin if you do it in a certain context and without any intent to glorify God, and you're not worrying about your conscience or your brother? And, you know, there's, we started throwing some sticky issues in there. So stop and think about what liberty means. We have freedoms. They are gifts from God. Treat them as such. Don't rub people's faces in them. And enjoy those liberties as God gives you conscience to do so, with the great appreciation that should come from knowing that I can do these things and God's not going to condemn me to hell because He's given me liberty and freedom.
I'm going to add this, and as far as your recreation and your hobbies go, I would ask you to be like my brother Chris. Involve your family. Do something that you can do as a family, like they do with the dressing up in the Comic-Con conventions. You know, that's not sinful for them to go and participate in such. In fact, they may be honoring God more than a lot of other people, because Chris is including his family. They do it together as a family. They enjoy it together as a family. So be careful of those rocks that you're throwing at other people, and do as the Bible says and examine the log that's in your own eye first.
Amen. Amen. Okay, folks, thank you. We ran a little bit long tonight, about 15 minutes over, which is fine. We're okay. We're not on a time crunch. We're not on any radio stations anywhere, so we don't have to worry about hard time crunches. We appreciate your time. We appreciate your patience with us. Thank you for letting us skip last week. Poor Rich was feeling a little under the weather. He seems to be doing much better. Praise God. Thank you for the prayers and your considerations for that. We look forward to being with you next time. And if ever you have suggestions about the show, as we got here on this week's program, feel free to give us a shout. You can get a hold of us at I almost gave the wrong email. My goodness. voiceofreasonradio@gmail.com. Yeah, I'm not giving y'all my personal email. You guys are crazy if you think that's happening. voiceofreasonradio@gmail.com. If you have any show suggestions, questions, comments, or snarks, just be polite about it. And if you have objections to what we said, bring your Bible verses in context. If you're going to just rip one out of there and throw it at us because you didn't like what we said, well, if you're playing the out of context game, we're going to call you on that. So anyway, but we look forward to it. We always appreciate your guys' support. Pray for us. Share the program if it's been a blessing to you. We'd love it to be a benefit to others. And remember, be a part of a local church. This is no substitute for godly instruction under a local pastor and a body of elders to whom you are accountable. And guess what? Rubbing elbows and bumping up against those people in the church to get on your nerves is a good thing, because it causes you to think about what God is doing in your life and how He's refining you. And those are people you get to pray for, and you get to do the one another's for, and you get to love them, and you get to take care of them. And that's all part of what it means to be a Christian. So go to your local church this Sunday. And by the way, Don't forget to set your clocks back, because if you don't, you're going to be really early to church on Sunday. So God bless you guys. We'll see you next week, and take care. Love y'all.